Every year during the warmer months, blooms of algae dot northwestern waters. Some of that algae can release toxins that poison shellfish and the people who might eat those shellfish. In recent years, toxic algal blooms have been more potent and have lasted longer. And that's got scientists trying to understand how our warming climate might be contributing to the problem. Reporter Ashley Ahern has this story in our series, Symptoms of Climate Change, from EarthFix.
Hi. Come on in.
Jackie Wilford and her family live in the suburbs east of Seattle. Her 7-year-old son, JC, runs by in a Seahawks jersey, teasing his little sister.
Jesse Stetson, who?
Welcome to our world.
In the living room, Jackie points to a picture from a camping trip the Wilfords took at Squim Bay State Park on the Olympic Peninsula back in 2011. The trip went down in family history.
We did not take many pictures. I think we had 3 from that trip, and then that was it.
The Wilfords did what many families in the Northwest do on coastal camping trips. They harvested some shellfish and cooked them over their campfire. JC pipes in.
It was really good. Like the best mussels in the whole wide world. And they were huge.
Then his 4-year-old sister Jessica continues the story.
They drank the poison water.
They drank the poison water?
The oysters and the mussels?
They had poison in them.
The mussels the Wilfords ate for dinner that night were indeed poisoned, but it was a natural type of poison. The shellfish had sucked up a toxin produced by a certain type of algae called Dinophysis. Dinophysis has been found around the world and documented in Northwest waters for decades. But scientists believe it's becoming more toxic as ocean conditions change, in part due to climate change. The toxin the algae releases causes diuretic shellfish poisoning, which is about as much fun as it sounds. And the Wilfords were the first documented case in the United States. It wasn't pretty. Soon after the kids went to bed that night, Jackie and her husband John heard sounds of vomiting coming from the kids' tent. The next day, everyone was still sick, so the Wilfords cut their vacation short, packed up their things, and headed home.
It just broke your heart the next morning to have a 2-year-old sitting in her stroller with a cup, and she would just be over there just dry heaving into this cup.
It may be tempting to blame public health officials for this family's experience, but there wasn't much they could have done. The DSP toxin is expensive to detect, and it had never before been confirmed to have made people in the U.S. sick, though it has in Europe and Japan. The Washington Department of Health works with tribes and shellfish growers to test regularly for other naturally occurring toxins in shellfish. Toxins that cause paralysis and amnesia are also produced by algae that are native to this region. Dinophysis is a relatively new troublemaker, but it may be perfectly equipped to thrive in the changing waters of the Northwest.
We're at Squim Bay State Park on the western shore of Squim Bay, and we're about to pull up to the dock. Actually, that the family in 2011 harvested their mussels off of that they got ill from.
Neil Harrington is a biologist with the Jamestown Tsklalam tribe on the Olympic Peninsula. He takes shellfish and water samples here every week. But it wasn't until the Wilfords got sick that he and the Department of Health started aggressively testing for Dinophysis and DSP toxin in these waters. Harrington pulls up a cage full of mussels and oysters and starts picking some out for sampling.
All right, Casey, that should do it for now.
Harrington will take these shellfish back to his lab to test for algae-related toxins. Some samples will also be overnighted to the Department of Health lab in Seattle. Harrington is particularly curious about Dinophysis. Unlike a lot of algae that just float around and photosynthesize until the water turns phosphorescent or red or green, Dinophysis has 2 tails that allow it to swim through the water. That means it can photosynthesize like a plant and prey on other single-celled organisms.
So it's sort of cellular vampirism. The analog on land would be a carnivorous plant.
Like so, Little Shop of Horrors?
A little bit, yeah, actually. Very little. Micro Shop of Horrors. How's that?
And this superbug is on the rise in Northwest waters. As more people move to the Northwest and more land is developed, more fertilizers and nutrients run off into waterways.
The more nutrients you add to a water body, the more algae there is. And the more algae you get, the more chance that some of those algae may be harmful.
Now add climate change.
As we move into a warmer climate, we're going to have a longer window of opportunity for some of these harmful species.
Vera Trainer is an expert on harmful algae with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in Seattle. Trainer says algae thrive when the water gets warmer. They also like it when snowmelt flushes fresh water into the marine environment. She says it makes for a nice layering effect, and Dynophysis know how to use those conditions to their advantage.
They can go to the surface into that fresher layer and photosynthesize during the day, and then they can swim down and access nutrient-rich waters at night. So we believe that there will potentially be an increase in them in the future.
Trainer's department at NOAA has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars developing equipment that will monitor algae and toxins in the water column in almost real time, so public health officials can get the word out earlier. Public health officials like Jerry Borchert. He's the guy responsible for making sure all the shellfish harvested in Washington is safe to eat. That's a $270 million industry and 800 miles of coastline to monitor.
I love what I do. It's an exciting job. It's always changing and never a dull moment.
At the Department of Health Lab north of Seattle, Borchert works closely with his team to analyze thousands of shellfish samples every year. If the toxin levels are too high, he closes beaches to shellfishing. This summer marked the first time he had to close beaches in South Puget Sound because of high levels of DSP toxin. Borchert says that in the past decade, toxic algal blooms have been on the rise.
There's more closures happening repeatedly. They're starting earlier, they're lasting longer, they're happening during the winter time where they never used to occur.
The Department of Health is spending $80,000 per year, on top of its regular budget, to test for the toxin that causes diuretic shellfish poisoning. That's the one that made the Williford family sick. And it's making Borchert's life harder. He's had to hire more staff, expand sampling sites, and sample more throughout the year.
Now, things are constantly changing, but it seems like they're changing in a more negative fashion, so I have to do more to be prepared for this, and it's ongoing.
Borchert's shoulders slump. He has a resigned, tired look in his eye.
For every one thing we learn, it seems like it just leads to hundreds of more questions. So that's kind of where we're at.
This season, the Department of Health closed beaches in six counties in Washington because of DSP toxin. Fortunately, no one got sick. But in the years to come, Borchert expects to be even more busy. I'm Ashley Ahern in Seattle.